Okay, welcome back to Healthspan. This is part three of How Not to Age by Dr. Michael Greger. In this episode, we'll be finishing off the different pathways of aging and also begin the next section of the book, which is the optimal anti-aging regimen. The previous two episodes, I talked about the different pathways and hallmarks of aging, including AMPK, inflammation, epigenetics, glycation, and senescence. But one of the main pathways and hallmarks of aging that I have not discussed is the mTOR signaling pathway. If you want an in-depth analysis about the history of mTOR and rapamycin, I highly recommend you listen to episode 76, where I talked about David Sabatini's journey into discovering mTOR. But because Dr. Greger talks about it in this book, I'll be discussing it as well. Dozens of published studies have demonstrated that by slowing down mTOR, rapamycin extends both the average and also the maximum lifespan of lab mice. And even if you aren't a rodent, rapamycin appears to be a universal anti-aging drug that lengthens lifespan in all animals that have ever been tested. In animal models, it also extends the health span as well. Rapamycin has been shown to ameliorate age-related declines in both cognitive and physical function. It can reduce any arterial dysfunction. It can rejuvenate the hearts of aged mice. It improves periodontal bone disease. And it also helps with tendon stiffening. One of the ways to dampen down mTOR is through calorie restriction. Suppression of mTOR may be a central mediator of the life extending effects of any dietary restriction. And some studies have also shown that if we simply reduce the protein consumption, this can help dampen down mTOR and extend our lifespan. The main proteins that we are looking to dampen down are the branched chain amino acids, especially leucine. But leucine, isoleucine, and valine, the three branched chain amino acids, are potent mTOR stimulators. And restriction of these specific amino acids recapitulates many of the beneficial effects of protein restriction, which itself is the fulcrum of calorie restriction. And studies have also shown that methionine restriction itself is sufficient to extend life in a lab. So it really comes down to calories, but you can also fast completely to inhibit mTOR, or you can protein restrict or calorie restrict to help dampen down mTOR. And this is also postulated why one of the main reasons the Okinawans and these people from Loma Linda live so long is because they're not consuming a lot of protein. They're not consuming a lot of calories in general. They're also not consuming a lot of methionine because they get the majority of their food from vegetables and fruits. And in fact, these people from Okinawa only eat about 10% of their meal or their diet is protein, and less than 1% is really made up of any animal products, which again is why they're probably considered one of the members of the blue zones, is because of this protein restriction and whole food plant-based diet. Are there any compounds that have been shown to dampen down mTOR activity? There's a compound called DIM, which is formed when cruciferous vegetable compound, the compound called indole 3-carbinol, hits our stomach, and it's been shown to suppress mTOR activation. Sulforaphane, another product of consuming vegetables in the broccoli family, also cools down mTOR and may help explain why those who eat their greens really live, on average, longer, more healthier lives. Is there anything we can drink to dampen down mTOR activity? Exposing yeast cells to the level of caffeine that would be found in your bloodstream after a cup of coffee led to the inhibition of TOR activity sufficient to extend life. Also, the compound in green tea I've talked about before, which is EGCG, has been shown to suppress mTOR activity. So there's a lot more to talk about mTOR and rapamycin, but I've really talked about it in previous episodes, especially the ones by David Sinclair and True Age by Morgan Levine. A lot of these episodes I've talked about mTOR and rapamycin. So I'm just going to move on for the sake of time into the next pathway of aging, which is oxidation. Oxidation and the free radical theory have been really the forefront of anti-aging theory for a long time. More than 300 theories of aging have really been proposed, but the oxidation was one of the first ones out there. And it really stuck around for a long time. So all the way back in 1956, there was a proposal that aging was really due to an accumulation of oxidative tissue damage. Then, with the realization that mitochondria were the major source of cellular free radical formation, it morphed into the sort of mitochondrial slash oxidation theory of aging. And the way it works is, let's say we consume food, and that food goes through glycolysis, and then, you know, the PDH complex, and then the TCA cycle, and then the electron transport chain. One of the main secondary effects of metabolism in the oxidative, you know, phosphorylation pathway is the formation of these free radicals that are generated through mitochondria doing their work. And it's been a theory the longest time that these oxidations and these free radicals damage our DNA and cause aging. Now, it's not really the forefront theory of aging anymore, but it's still kind of part of the aging process, which I'll explain later. So one of the main things that is driving this oxidation is not only eating a lot of food and going through those pathways, but also, again, methionine, lowering methionine intake. Within a period of 7 weeks, restricting the intake of methionine in rats lessened this electron leakage that we get from mitochondria, and it also reduced the amount of free radical formation and also mitochondrial DNA damage. Consistent with the mitochondrial and oxidative theory of aging, this appears to slow aging, as evidenced by a reduction in the incidence of a range of degenerative age-related illnesses and ailments in mice, and also been shown to extend lifespan. So again, methionine restriction alone helps with reduction of this oxidation and this mitochondrial, you know, electron leakage. So moving a little bit forward, that's kind of like the essence of the oxidation and some ways to really boost the antioxidant and power of your body is, you know, through consumption of certain foods and beverages, mainly the fruits and vegetables and tea as well. So tea, again, has, even though it doesn't have any fiber, has been shown to been associated with longer lifespan. Again, it's probably through this EGCG. And also a lot of these colorful foods like blueberries are one of the most vividly tinted foods. And the data doesn't really disappoint when it comes to eating a lot of blueberries. So he puts here that a half cup of blueberries is able to blunt the drop in antioxidant capacity of our blood in just a few hours after consuming these blueberries. So it's a lot of these colorful foods, not just blueberries, but a lot of these leafy greens, anything with color and pigment in it. So a lot of these anthocyanins, and as I mentioned, like spinach as well, Brussels sprouts, tomatoes, green tea, carrot juice, and kiwi fruit as well. And a lot of these dark colored compounds too, like, you know, dark chocolate, cacao. These are really some of the best antioxidant foods that we have out there. So going a little bit more forward, why exactly do these foods have such antioxidant effects? And what is it about the NRF2 pathway that's involved in antioxidants? So in the 1990s, there was a protein discovered called NRF2, which stands for nuclear factor erythroid 2. And it's a protein that floats in our cytoplasm that is normally bound to a suppressor protein. But when NRF2 gets released, it's able to go into our nucleus and then bind to the antioxidant response elements and also activate the more powerful battery of like the antioxidant protections. And it's often called the master regulator of the environmental stress response. And it's also been called before as the guardian of health span and gatekeeper of species longevity. So boosting NRF2 signaling actually causes significant increase in longevity in C. elegans and also fruit flies, and correlates with maximum lifespan across 10 different species of rodents. And the way to really boost NRF2 is through consumption of, you know, these sulforaphane compounds, stuff you see in like broccoli, kale, broccoli sprouts, collards, cabbage, cauliflower. These kinds of foods have so much sulforaphane, which helps activate, again, NRF2 pathway, the main antioxidant pathway, that again will go into our nucleus and activate certain other pathways that help with reducing this antioxidant, this oxidation burden that we have on our body whenever we do eat. So again, the main thing to remember is NRF2 signaling pathway and consumption of a lot of these anthocyanin-rich foods and also green tea. And he also quickly has sections about like alpha lipoic acid, CoQ10, ginseng, some of these other supplements that have been shown to be really like antioxidant, you know, N-acetylcysteine, selenium, a lot of these antioxidant-rich compounds. But for now, I'll be going into the next pathway of aging, which is the sirtuins. So if you go back to episodes 10, 11, 12, where I go over David Sinclair's book, I have a very in-depth analysis into sirtuins, NAD, resveratrol, and I highly recommend you listening to those episodes that I did in the past. But again, sirtuin is another signaling pathway. It's another hallmark of aging. This sirtuin, it's really like, so sirtuins, again, it stands for silencing information regulator. And you find these sirtuins in all our cells. And it's been shown, again, similar to AMPK, that if we activate our sirtuins, it helps really protect our DNA against damage. And that's the main issue that's going on. That's, again, one of the hallmarks of aging is DNA damage. And also affects the way, you know, it affects our epigenetics as well. So it helps turn and off, on and off genes through methylation, that kind of thing. And that's the very, like, basics of sirtuins. And we get a lot of sirtuin activation through, again, things that are going to boost our NAD and things that are going to boost our AMPK as well. These really help boost sirtuins. So to help really boost this anti-aging pathway, again, we want to increase things that are going to help with boosting our NAD. So exercise, calorie restriction, again, activated AMPK will help boost the sirtuin pathway. Certain foods as well, like apples, not smoking, and also reducing foods high in the advanced glycation end products. These are all going to help boost the sirtuin activity, which again, help protect our DNA. The next kind of optimal pathway is the telomeres. So telomeres are the end caps of our DNA. This again goes back to Leonard Hayflick and his idea that cells will only divide a certain amount of times, like 50 times, before they end up going into senescence. But if we have these proper like telomere activation, then again, we can help protect our DNA. And some of the ways that we can really boost the telomere activity is through high-intensity interval training. So of the 5 randomized controlled trials that have actually put exercise to the test, there was one that was showing significant difference. It was the ones really doing the high-intensity interval training and also like endurance running. These help really boost the telomerase activity the most. So this is why you should not only be walking long distances, like getting your 8,000 steps a day and also lifting weights, but also doing this high-intensity interval training. And this will help improve your VO2, but it also helps improve the telomerase activity. And again, telomeres, telomerase, this is another hallmark of aging. There's also a lot of foods that have been shown to boost telomerase activity. So again, fiber is another compound. So fiber, he puts here that the same representative sampling of thousands of U.S. adults found that the more fiber that people consumed, the longer their telomeres tended to be. Green tea, again, I sound like a broken record, but green tea has also been shown to been associated with longer telomere activity. And he goes into other supplements as well that help boost telomere activity. So he puts here, just to finish up, eating a lot of cruciferous vegetables, eating a high fiber diet, choosing to drink tea or coffee over other things like soda or milk, And also vitamin D as well, which I didn't know, helps boost this telomere activity. So this kind of leads into the next section of the book. I finished all the different pathways of aging. And part two of the book is the optimal anti-aging regimen. And because I'm short on time, I'll just be going over a few aspects of the diet. So funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Global Burden of Disease Study pulled together nearly 500 researchers from more than 300 different institutes in 50 countries and examined almost 100,000 data sources. And among the findings, they determined that the number one killer of Americans is the American diet. And this is actually even more important than tobacco use. So smoking only kills about 500,000 people a year, whereas our diet kills you know, many more than that. So diet is considered to be, and this is something that Dr. Greger and I agree on, diet is considered to be the most important modifiable lifestyle factor when it comes to aging, health span, and also lifespan. When studies find that optimal nutrition and healthy dietary patterns or high diet quality are associated with increased life expectancy, what do they really mean by a healthy diet? So he puts here that tallying higher on each of the four majority dietary quality scoring systems has been associated with extending lifespan and lowering of heart disease and cancer mortality. And they share four really fundamental elements, which include more fruit, more vegetables, more whole grains, and also more nuts and beans. So again, one more time, more fruits, more vegetables, more whole grains, and more nuts and beans. Eating more vegetables could potentially save about 1.5 million lives around the world every year, and eating more nuts and seeds, possibly 2 million more lives, and eating more fruits, close to 2.5 million lives. Again, I'm not sure how he's getting, you know, these numbers, but the main point I'm trying to make is if we eat a lot more fruits, eat a lot more vegetables, more whole grains, more nuts and beans, this is the optimal dietary intervention that's going to help extend our lifespan and also our health span. Just moving a little bit forward, he goes to the diet, but again, it's a lot of redundancy about the benefits of eating whole food plant-based diet. He goes into different beverages as well. So how alcohol could possibly be a carcinogen. And again, alcohol consumption has been associated with certain forms of cancer. And it may have to do with the acetaldehyde, which is an intermediate of alcohol consumption. And he also talks about sodas and how each additional daily can of soda worth of sugar actually appears to increase mortality by about 8%. And it may have to do with its association with heart disease and also diabetes. So again, like I mentioned before, we want to stick away from, you know, the milks and the sodas and eat and drink more of the green tea, more just water, more coffee, that kind of stuff. So that's the short of beverages. And he also talks about wine and fruit juices and all these different types of beverages. But again, I kind of summarized before what you should be drinking and what you should be eating. And he goes into the next section of the book, which is what do centenarians eat? And I'll leave it here because this kind of leads into a lot more information that I feel like I don't want to crunch in here. So in the next episode, I'll be discussing what the centenarians actually eat and the Mediterranean diet, different studies like the Lionheart study, PrediMed study, different things we can do with our lifestyle, weight management, exercise, sleep, all that will be discussed in the next episode. So I'm going to end here. I felt good finishing off all the different pathways of aging. Again, I didn't go in depth into mTOR and all this stuff. And I have previous episodes about, you know, sirtuins, mTOR, if you want to listen to those. So thank you for listening. Tune in next time where I go into what centenarians eat and also be kind of finishing off the optimal anti-aging regimen. So again, thank you for listening and I hope you tune in next time.